Romans chapter 12. I've been parked in this for about 2 weeks, and the Lord won't let me out of it. I see it, I read it, I meditate in it, I think about it during the day. So there must be something there the Lord is wanting to show us and teach us here. We need Him, don't we?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Verse 1, the Holy Ghost inside of Paul cried out, I beseech you, brethren. That word beseech means, listen now, the Holy Ghost crying through Paul, I plead with you. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul is a saying, seek and find that place where you're in the will of God, to know that you're pleasing to Him. And you'll know when you get there, because there'll be a peace inside of your heart and a conscience, that you'll know that you've reached that place, that He's pleased with you. You'll know it. You'll feel it when you get there in the place that God wants you. Thank you, Lord. Notice, the Lord is speaking to born-again children. If you're going to live for me and serve me, you must offer yourself a living sacrifice. One continual offering 24/7. Thank you, Lord. Sacrifice, listen. Sacrifice means giving up something for someone else. You see, the devil owned me. He controlled me. I was his puppet on a string. He was destroying me. So when I came to Jesus, I said, I don't want to live that life no more. I'm tired of being bound, tired of living in sorrow and misery, tired of not having peace inside of my soul. I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll serve you. He came inside of my heart. He set me free. And from that day, the Lord leads me. He guides me. He reveals things to me. He shows me what to do. He lets me know how to live, how to please Him. We have to get in a place to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in my life. I want to please you. Thank you, Lord. So, a sacrifice is going to cost you something. No pain, no gain. So there'll be a lot of things in life you'll have to say no to. And you'll have to say, yes, Lord. Do you want a closer walk with God? Do you really want to get in that place where He's pleased with you? Do you want His blessing? Do you want to prosper spiritually? Do you want to prosper in your life? Do you want things to go well with you? Get in that place and say, Lord, I'm giving the reins of my soul to you. Guide me. Guide me, Lord. Hallelujah. So, did you know that parents sacrifice and do without for their children to feed and raise them and put them through school? I remember when I was 16 years old, I got my driver's license. Well, I thought I was on top of the world. I had to borrow Daddy's truck, and Daddy, he got the man that he worked for. He got me a job to mow grass there and trim his rose bushes. I never will forget that. That was my, and rake leaves in the fall. That's how I made my money. But I couldn't hardly wait till I got my first car. Dad told me, he said, and Mommy told me different times in my life, said, honey, he said, we were poor. And the house we grew up in, I was raised in, had hardwood floors, fan in the window, no air conditioning, no carpet, an old dial phone. I'm 66. I'm an old man. And Dad and Mom said, many times, honey, we'd hop in that old pickup truck, and Dad's got pictures there at the house of these that he left when he passed away. Went through those pictures and saw that old Chevrolet truck way back in the 50s. He He said, honey, he said, your mommy and I done without a lot of times. To feed you and clothe you, we did without to provide for you. Daddy told me, he said, I'll never forget you'd ride right in between your mommy and I. He said, I'd be driving over there into Huntington, go over there on First Street, and there was Fish's Fat Boy, I think it was, at a big old Fat Boy restaurant over there, Frisch's. Daddy said, I'd pull in there and said, I'd go up there and said, you ate. Said, you really ate a lot of food to be so little. And you'd sit right there. Said, your mommy and I didn't have two dimes to rub together after we bought your meal. And said, we bought you a big, one of those big Fat Boy hamburgers and got you a milkshake. And said, we both sat there and watched you eat it. And we couldn't buy anything for ourselves. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. But you see, mommy and daddy left me something. Because when they raised me in church and taught me about a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They taught me about Jesus and the cross. And they told me to shun that awful place called hell. They put something inside of my heart. Mommy would read the Bible to me when I was a little child, set me right beside her, and read the Bible and the Holy Word of God. You see, I am what I am today because somebody sacrificed and done without. Can I tell you the greatest sacrifice that was ever given and ever made was when God looked down from heaven and from his throne upon a world that was lost without God and had no hope going to a devil's hell. And God says, I can't let them go. I'm going to send my only begotten Son into the world. He'll pay the price for their iniquities and their sins, and he'll hang on a cross, and he'll die and shed every drop of blood. Jesus come, and he prayed to the Father. He said, not my will, dear Father, but thy will be done in heaven. He said, I'll go to the cross to redeem and to save man. And if you could look right now in your mind's eye to the top of Calvary's hill, you will see a love story that it's greater than any other love story you've ever heard about. When Jesus, a perfect man, God's only begotten Son, came down and went to the cross and let him drive nails through his hands and his feet, said, I'll pay the price for their iniquity so they can be free. Raise your little hand. Raise your little hand. He loved me that much. He loved me that much. He loved me that much that he would die. He hung on a cross in agony and torture for six hours on the cross. He said, and he prayed to the Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Even those that drove the nails through his hands and his feet, the wicked Roman soldiers, forgive them, for they don't realize what they're doing. And because of that act and that sacrifice, we're here this morning enjoying God's salvation. Thank God there's a price to pay. After all that God's done for you, listen, after all that he's given you, after all that he's blessed you with, you're wearing clothes this morning, you can breathe, you walked in those doors, what is it that we owe him? What is it that we owe him? I owe him my life. I owe him my future. I owe him my heart, my soul. Here I am, Lord. I want to serve you. I want to do your will. Raise your little hand. I want to do your will, Lord. I want to know that in my heart I'm all right. Oh, Lord, I accept that sacrifice and the price that was paid. Jesus, come into my heart. Glory to God. Listen. Thank you, Lord. David the psalmist said these words. Neither will I offer burnt offerings. I won't offer any sacrifices unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing. It's going to cost me to give. Have you made up your mind this morning where you're going to spend eternity? Do you have that blessed assurance inside? You've come to a place in the road, a crossroads. You got to make a choice in life. One man said it this way in a song. He said, I came and I was on a wide road, a Broadway leading to hell. He said, I could see the flames and the smoke licking up from that pit. He said that God loved me so much that he placed a cross right in my path. I was lost, miserable, no hope, going straight to hell when I ran into a cross. In the song, it says, if I bypass that cross, there's no hope for me. If I go around that, God's roadblock to hell, God's roadblock to sin, if I shun that old cross and I go around and I ignore it, I'm lost. I'm doomed. Oh, God. Oh, God. Right out in front of your path, it's appointed that a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. We don't know when that appointment is. I could be dead before this day is over with a massive heart attack. I could leave this house, this church house, and go and something hit me, and I'd not make it back tonight. Have you got hope? Have you got hope? Oh, what the Lord does. He brings you into places to show you that he loves you. He reaches to you and he deals with you and he draws on the strings of your heart. He lets you feel something in the singing. He talks to you and lets you know that you need him. Without him, you can do nothing. You can't live. You can't breathe the next breath without him. Raise your sleepy little hand to him. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he loves you. He went all the way to Calvary's rugged brow. Thank God. He reached to me when nobody else could help me. I could not save myself. I could not bring myself out of the horrible pit that I was living in, Brother Scotty. But he reached down when I cried out to him. I reached up to him and he reached down to me. You've got to call. You've got to reach. He can't answer you. He can't pull on you. He can't touch you unless you say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'll take time and make time, Jesus, to spend with you in your word and prayer. Dear Lord, I'll lay aside the things of evil and sin of this old world. I don't want them. It's not worth it. So that I can get closer to you. How many knows the whole world around us is paying a price going after things that cannot satisfy? Amen. But what about us? What are you after? What are you after? What are you searching for? What are you longing for? What's the cry of your heart this morning? You came to this church for a reason. You're here for a purpose. What is it you're looking for? What is the cry right down in your heart and your soul right now? What do you want more than any? Do you want a life filled with meaning? To have meaning and purpose? Do you want to feel wanted? Do you want to feel accepted? Do you want to feel like you're important? God thinks you are. God loves you. I don't care how little you are, where you've been, what and all you've done in your life. You're important to him. Slip your little hand up. You're important to him right now. You're important to him. I don't care what's went wrong in your life, what has hurt you. I don't care how far down you are. It don't matter about the things in your mind, how you think. And it might look hopeless to you, but Jesus said, you're important to me. You're hurting, and I want to heal. You're confused, but I can give you understanding. Hallelujah. You're lost, but I can save you. You feel down, but I can lift you up, and I can encourage you. Hallelujah to God.
God's got me in here for a reason, Brother Scotty. Romans chapter 12. I got a boatload, Brother Anthony, and I'll never get through all this. But God's got you right here. He's got us right here because he loves us. Listen. The Lord is a speaking to us. Give me your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. That word conformed means to give the same shape, the same outline and contour. To be in harmony and agreement with this world in its dress, in its appearance, in its speech, in its action, in its attitude. Like the world of sinners around you, don't be like them. If you're going to be ready when I return,
to get my church to go back with me. Don't let me find you in the world's mold.
Come on.
Come on. I don't want to be in that mold, Lord. No, I want you to transform me and make me like Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice as I got into this and began to study it. How many has ever heard the saying, casting a mold? Casting a mold. It's a term used in a manufacturing process in which a liquid or soft pliable material is poured into a mold which contains a hollow cavity of the desired shape, and then it's allowed to solidify and set up hard. After that soft material stays and sets in that mold for a considerable amount of time, it will harden to its final shape. Then when the mold is turned over by the maker, out comes an exact replica, a figure that looks and feels just like the mold. This world and its spirit will mold you if you're in or around it for very long. You become like the company you are around if you ain't careful. The Bible said a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, just a little bit of fermented yeast, a little bit of it, cast it into a bowl full of dough. And that fermenting yeast begins to get down in there and causes all of that flour and that dough to rise. This world is filled with influence. You listen to it, you watch it, you become just like they are. Come on now. A man said, my little boy was a playing, and he said, I watched him. He's a running through the living room. My only little son. And said, I watched him. He just playing with stuff. Said he went over there and opened the closet door. Said he pulled, he's a little feller, and said he pulled that closet door all the way open. Said he reached in there in the closet and he pulled out a pair of my shoes. My big size 11 shoe. He said, I thought it was funny at first. And he said he slipped his little tiny feet down into them big old size 11 shoes. He said, look, Daddy, and his little feet sliding back and forth, them big old boots, big old shoes. He said, look, Daddy, I've got your shoes on. He just a playing with them shoes. That guy was a preacher, and he said, God began to deal with me and said, son, look at your little boy, how you walk in life. If you're not careful, that little boy will follow you through life and he'll walk just like you when he grows up. Come on. I feel sorry for our generation. Kids all up and down these streets right here has never had a mommy and daddy to teach them. They don't know what it's like to live in a home where mommy and daddy prays. They have no church with a good pastor to preach the word of God to them. They're right now loose up and down these streets right now hunting for another high. They're looking for another shot. They're looking for another hit of acid or crack cocaine or meth to get them high. Look at them, skin and bone, walking skeleton, because they fit into somebody else's mold. Raise your hand. I don't want to be in the world's mold. No. Hallelujah. If mommy and daddy don't want to go to heaven, listen, if my family don't want to go to heaven, I've got to make up my mind in my heart, my life. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Raise your hand and praise him. I'm not going with the world and end up being lost. Glory to God. You become like those you run with and you deal with and you associate with. You'll pick up their habits and their traits and you'll act like them and you'll dress like them. Oh, God, help us, Lord. That's the reason we got a holiness church here. You come through those doors, you feel the Spirit of God and the sweet Holy Ghost moving. You feel the very atmosphere of heaven. You can feel the righteousness in this room this morning. Don't you want it? Don't you want it? Don't you want to be like Christ? Don't you want to have him?
Yes.
Whew.
The Holy Ghost said in the Word of God, you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. You've been redeemed. You've been bought. When you walk outside those doors this morning, listen to me, children. What you see each day and what you read and take in and hear and listen to, you are passing by the world's mold. And if you're not careful, the spirit of this world will pull you ever so gradually and easily, and you'll conform and think and act just like the others. Oh God, I read this illustration of our life and the impressions that we make on others. Now notice, a young preacher was driving home from town with his little three-year-old daughter when she asked if she could take her shoes off. Daddy, can I take my shoes off? He said, yes, honey, you can take them off. And she was at that inquisitive stage, and she asked a whole lot of questions. She looked down, and she saw the ridges on her feet from the socks and an indentation across the top of her foot from the strap on her shoe. And she asked her daddy, Daddy, what is this wrinkle and this indentation in my foot? He smiled, and he answered. He said, honey, that's from your socks and your shoes. It's called an impression. It happens when you have had something on for a long time. That satisfied her, and as he continued to drive down the road, he thought about it, and the Lord began to speak to him. Listen, listen, listen. An impression appears after wearing something or leaning against something for a long period of time. None of us escape impressions. If we spend a lot of time with the things of this world, it'll leave an impression, an indentation in you. You cannot possibly spend hours with worldly music, television, bad shows, movies, or 100 other things this world has to offer without affecting your mind and your heart and your body. It'll show. It'll show. Marks will appear that'll be visible to everybody. Your spiritual life will suffer and may be completely destroyed if you do not take these things away and allow them to fall to the ground. Don't allow these marks to become scars, never to disappear in your life. However, look up and hold your head high. Just as the things of this world will mar you, spending time with Jesus, hallelujah, will leave great and glorious marks for the world to see. Hallelujah, reading your Bible and attending church, hallelujah, His will in our lives will leave an impression of a person that is at peace with God. Raise your little hand. I want the Lord. I don't know about you. I don't want the world anymore, but I want the Lord. Hallelujah. How many says, I'm tired of what I see and what I hear of the evil going on around me? I want something better. Hallelujah. Praise Him, church. I want something better. God's got something better. Hallelujah. He'll satisfy the longing soul. He'll fill the hungry soul with goodness. Hallelujah. Impressions, impressions, impressions. I don't want anything to leave an impression in me of this world. Hallelujah. Lean on this hard enough. Lean on it hard enough. It'll leave an impression right across my arm. People are doing things in this world and allowing things and getting involved in things that is leaving marks and scars inside of them. God's just saying, get out of the world's mold. I feel the Lord right here. Woohoo! Get out of the world's mold right now while you got a chance. If you're here and you can feel the least little touch of God, there's hope. If that heart is still sensitive on the inside, you feel your need, you're pliable, you're soft enough for God to take you and mold you, make something beautiful. Slip your hand and wave it to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go, God, don't let me get hardened. Don't let people harden me. Come on. We can let others harden us. We can let our situations harden us. Come on. We turn bitter on the inside. Life has dealt us a bad hand. And we lash out.
Come on now. We're hurt. We carry wounds. But God says, if you're pliable to me and put yourself in my hands, I can kiss it every bit away. I can put my love deeper inside of you than any evil. Hallelujah. I can give you something that'll take it away. Hallelujah. God heals broken hearts and he still sets captives free. I feel the Lord this morning, what he did for me, what he did for my wife, what he did for us Christians here this morning, what he did for Apostle Paul that was a murderer and a blasphemer. The blood of Jesus still has power to cleanse, and the mercy of God and the grace of God can still reach. He can still make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Woo! If any man be in Christ, are you in him? Are you in him or outside of him? You in the world or you in the church? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Creature in the Greek means dotty. It means a brand new creation, a creation, a creation. You see, when you were born, David told the Lord after he had sinned. He had a man murdered and committed adultery with another man's wife and had her husband put to death. A lot of people say there ain't no hope for David, the psalmist. And cast him into hell. Forget about him. But David ran to God and realized what he did. He said, behold, Lord, he said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Have mercy upon me according to the multitude of your riches. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities. Cleanse my heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Guess what God did? I'm telling you, when God forgives, he forgets your past. I read something this morning that he casts our sins into the depths of the sea, a bottomless sea that has no bottom in it. Where does my sins go, preacher? God said, I'll cast them. Behold, I'll cast them into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. As far as the east is from the west, so far will I remove thy transgressions from thee. Behold, I have cast thy sins behind my back. My Lord, the heaven of heavens cannot contain God, and his hand spans the heavens. And if he takes our sins and casts them behind his back, he never looks back. Woo! The Lord will never hold you accountable for your past when it's been forgiven. I feel the Lord right here. Raise your hand and praise him. If he forgives me, I'm cleansed and I'm justified. God, what sins are you talking about? They're gone evermore. Oh, God, hallelujah, he redeemed me, he saved me, I'm in right standing, I'm justified in his sight, I'm his child, and I know that I am. When he comes, I'm ready to go back with him. I'm not in the world's mode. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, Jesus. All the things that we need to do to be ready when Jesus comes. Or should we die and leave this world? How many knows this morning that we live in a godless society? A generation that knows not God. They're right in their own eyes. I'm right, preacher. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me that I need God. I'm all right. I'll go to heaven. I give to charity. I'm a good person. I don't commit murder. Oh, really? Have you been born again? Jesus said, except a man or a woman be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. Have you had a born-again experience? We live in a sin-laden, lust-filled society. Peter prophesied, Brother Scotty, of our generation, right before Jesus comes again, and he said, it will be a generation of cursed children that have forsaken the right way. Listen. Job said, upon my right hand rise the youth. They push away my feet, and they raise up against me the ways of their destruction. Do you know why? Because of the parents. They didn't teach them about God. Parents nowadays don't take their children to a spirit-filled church with an anointed holiness pastor. They're not raised in a praying Christian home. Therefore, to respect the life of others means nothing to them. They have no love. Job 21:11 said it well in describing our reckless youth. Listen, they, the parents, send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance to rock music. In other words, they dance. They take the timbrel and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth in a moment, and in a moment they go down to the grave. Therefore, they say unto God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? This describes our godless young generation. The parents saw no danger and pushed them right out into the world's mold of influence. Allowed them to have things and do things that has pulled them away from a holy God. Now they love the world. Now they're warped and defiled. If I could cry at this morning from the housetops all across this street, I'd warn every parent before it's too late, don't sell your children to the devil. Teach them God's holy ways while they're young and tender in heart. Don't take them around things that'll pull their hearts away from God. Because if you wait too long and the mold is cast, the end result is another soul that's hardened in the shape of this world and lost without God. Jesus. Precious Lord. Oh God, would you deal with us? Jesus, let us see our need for a closer walk with you, Lord. Come on, time is short for us. Time is really, really, really short. Are you ready this morning? Are you where God wants you? Are you in his mold? Come on. You'll feel it. You'll know it when you are. You'll feel his hand touch you and his blessing inside of you. There's a peace that'll mark the Christian. Can I tell you, influence is very strong in this world. You better believe it is. It's more powerful than any magnet. God is telling us this morning, don't let the sinners and the media and the worldly crowd draw you into its mold of thinking. The world will defile and it'll corrupt you. And the only safe place that you'll be saved and secure is in Jesus and the gospel, the holy word of God. Amen. The Lord's are coming. Yes, I said the Lord's are coming. The Lord's coming. Brother Scotty, I've heard the preachers when I was a little lad, barely able to walk. I've heard the preachers stand in the pulpit and say, the Lord's coming. Lord's coming. I'm going back 60 some year ago, but it's 10,000 times worse right now than it was when I was a kid. There's nothing holy anymore. Nothing decent anymore. The imaginations of people's minds and hearts is continually evil. The youth is rising up. Look at all the chaos in the streets and the fighting and the bloodshed and the violence. It's 10,000 times worse now than it was then. Jesus said, when you see the days like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the days that it was in Noah's time, he said, know thou that it is time for me to come. Raise your little hand. Say, I want to be ready, Lord. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. The Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. My daddy told me, he said, son, can you imagine people that are lost that will stand before God at the judgment and hear him say, depart from me. I know you not. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And he'll say to his angels, bind them hand and foot. And take them and cast them into outer darkness, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He said, there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, weeping and gnashing of teeth. My daddy, Sister Alicia, told me many times, he said, can you realize, really bring it inside of your mind, son? He'd grab a hold of my arm. Do you really realize the torment of hell? I've been burnt on my job before. Listen, bad burn. We have a great big burners. I mean, but this long in the set, we'd have to heat metal up with it. and the burner had went out, the fire had went out on it, and I reached down to get a hold of that handle, and it was a steel handle like that, to pick it up, and it set me on fire. I went into the bathroom. I ran cold water as long as the cold water was running on my hand. It was bearable. When I turned that cold water off, it hurt. I can't explain the hurt of a burn. And to think that the rich man in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and said, "Have mercy upon me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." My daddy told me many times, he said, "And to realize you can't come back and live your life over. It's gone forever. You forfeited it. And to think it's forever and ever and ever." To know you're in a place you can't get out of. I've made up my mind this morning, I'm going to serve God. The world's are going to hell. Sinners and backsliders that have rejected God is going to hell. They'll stand before Him, and death and hell will deliver up the dead that are in it, and they'll be cast alive into the lake of fire. I don't want to go there. It's forever, and the smoke of their torment ariseth up forever and ever, and there's no end. And to think I can't get my life back. To think I can't get my life back. I can't change my ways. I can't come to Jesus. That opportunity's done past. God, this breaks my heart. This breaks my heart. People nowadays let it go in one ear and out the other. I could preach, listen to this. I could have preached this 20 years ago. People would fall at their seat, wouldn't even come to the altar. And they would fall on an old wooden bench right where they was a-sitting and weep and cry, a puddle of tears on an old wooden bench, saying, "God, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, would you save me? Jesus, please save me and forgive me." Slip your hand up. This is serious. This is serious this morning. I want to be sure. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, Lord, my heart's right. What mode are you in? I feel a settling here. Where do you stand in the eyes of eternity? Listen. Where do you stand right now? Where is your soul standing in the face of God? Is it well with you? Oh God. Oh Jesus. I'm going to stop right here. I feel the Lord to stop it. Come on. Oh God. I've covered 3 pages, 4 pages. I've got 5 or 6 more pages. But if I have not got this over to you, then ain't nothing else I could say. I'm here this morning and I'm a child of God, and like I can look around at the children of God. I believe there's some areas in our life that we need to deal with right now. Don't let your heart get hardened towards something the Lord has dealt with you about. You see, every time that you push God away, you push Him away. You get farther away from Him. Listen, people don't realize God don't always deal and He don't always speak, but when He does, you ought to count it the greatest privilege you ever had. I used to walk so close to Him, people said. I've lost that touch and it seems like I'm way over here. I used to have good thoughts and wholesome thoughts and serve the Lord, but now it wasn't Him walked away from me. I walked away from Him. Something has got a hold of people. We don't pray like we used to pray. We don't long and hunger and thirst for God like we used to. I believe God's dealing even with the Christians this morning, saying, "Draw closer." Would you stand with me? Everybody that's in this house that's able to stand. Jesus is drawing. Jesus is calling. Do you hear Him? Do you hear him? Lord, Lord, Lord. Brother Scotty, God saved and delivered you from drugs too. Oh, what he has done for Tommy Romans and Scotty Marshall. He reached down when nobody else could help me, Brother Charlie. Look what he's done. I guess like the song the McCameys sing, look at me, I'm a trophy of grace. Slip your little hand up to him, hallelujah. Oh, look what the Lord can do, what he's done, the peace, the change. We need a change this morning. We need God to renew our desire within us and draw us once again, Lord. Come on, let's gather around. Let's find a place. This altar is open for anybody that would want to pray this morning and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I don't want to be in this old world's lost mode, but I want to be in your hand. Come on, God can take you with his hands. He can fix you and mend you and mold you. Put his joy and peace inside. Let's pray right now and ask God to help me. Help you. I praise you, Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray. Come on, call on God.
Where will you be a million years from now?
Thank you, Jesus.
Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll?
Reach to him, call on him, he'll hear you.
Just one life to live on.
Here I am, Jesus.
And it's swiftly passing by.
Hallelujah.
From the moment,
yes,
of my birth till the time has come to die. God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years.
Yes, he loves you.
Where
Jesus,
will you be?
Behold, David said, he, God, is my helper.
Where will
nobody else can understand me. God does. Nobody else can reach and touch me. But Jesus can. Hallelujah. He can fix mold
will
and shape.
Will you be happy? Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity?
Children, he'll hear you. He's listening right now.
In
you're here
Bible,
for a purpose. You're here for a reason. He brought you here this morning
of the day
to hear some good news.
Soon will come.
There's hope in God.
When the people of this earth will be gathered,
yes,
round God's throne.
Yes, Lord.
When you stand before the King,
Jesus, Jesus,
there for all the world to see, will he say, well done? Where will you be?
While we sing, can I pour your heart out?
Where
give it all to
will
God.
You be?
Give it all to him. Regardless where you've been, God loves you. Jesus, Jesus.
Will you be happy?
Will you be singing?
eternity. I ask this question, where will you be?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Will you talk to him.
Reach to him. Glory to God. He'll take your hand. He'll
will
lead you.
Will you be singing while ages roll throughout eternity?